Welcome to Ever Beyond, on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Indeed, hallelujah. I've got my mic working. Actually, it's a little overcranked, so let me just bring the volume down here a bit. Yes, good evening. This is Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. Tonight, October the 13th, 2013. It's nearly 31/10/13 Halloween, so that should be quite interesting when that happens. Anyway, tonight I have on my show Rick and Annie from the Shake and Wake. I nearly said Wake and Bake. That's the wrong one, isn't it? But from the Shake and Wake show on, you're on Wolf Spirit as well, aren't you? Is it Shake and Wake still on Wolf Spirit?
Because I know you had it on. Shake and Wake. To the truth on Divide and Conquer This with Rick and Annie.
Divide and Conquer This. That was the one. I knew that wasn't about, but you have the thing there on the other thing. So, greetings and welcome to
Everybody. You're breaking up.
Am I breaking up?
I wonder if it's like that in the chat room. It's breaking up a little back and forth. I can hear like every other sentence.
Oh, right. That's because your speakers are on a little loud.
No, actually, we're using headphones.
You're on headphones.
We don't have speakers on, both Annie and I, so.
Okay.
There's some little glitch.
Yeah, it may maybe a bit.
We can hear you better now. It might have straightened out.
Okay, I've turned my speakers
should
down.
Should be straightened out now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've got this enormous data copy going on this computer, so that may be something to do with it. But if you, I'm receiving you very well, basically. So don't worry about not hearing me. I can type the question.
How do I respond to your questions?
am I clearer now? No.
It's still cutting in and out a little bit. Like, you'll say a few words. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, you're coming through continually.
Okay.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, what I was trying to do is I've got this massive data copy. It's been running for, like, 4 hours, and it's got another hour to run, 40 minutes to run, in fact, it's saying here. And it's breaking up my system. But what I might do is I'll try and reboot this little fellow. I have a netbook, which also runs Skype, it just wasn't working before. But I'll see if I can get it to work on here, and then I'll try and call you on that.
You're not breaking up too bad now, though.
Not
you're
too
sounding
bad.
All
okay,
right.
Well,
now.
We'll see what we can do. All right, and I'm coming out clear on the stream, and so are you. So that should be fine, and we'll see. Well, you know, I'll see how we can cope. With the rest of the thing. So Rick, we started chatting a couple of weeks ago when you came on the show, and we started talking about the whole music business cover up of the late Paul McCartney being replaced by a lookalike and plastic surgery and mind control techniques and all of this stuff. So we thought we'd have a whole show about it, didn't we?
Yeah, actually, and then there's been a lot of information and documentaries on Elvis Presley that he didn't die in 77. So the rabbit hole goes quite deep, you know. I can't hear him. Can you hear him?
No.
Oh, dear.
There you go. I hear you now.
Yeah.
What did you just do? Because now you're coming in.
Yeah.
Did you unplug something and plug it back in?
I've got a hardware issue, I think. Hang on. That's gonna do something as well. Yeah, I've got a, it's a cable issue. In fact, it is really very basic. It's probably the mouse, that is, yeah, that's not good. Hello, 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 yeah. Is my voice rough? It's probably the mouse that's causing the cable is rubbing up against the other cable. And let's just try and get that pushed in there. Right, am I there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's good enough.
What? Yeah, I can hear you now.
That's good
enough. But when you were moving around, we could hear like a problem with a mic cord or something. Something wasn't right there.
Yeah.
It happened. Welcome to internet radio and Skype.
Yeah, and well, mixing boards and cables. I rejigged my system this week to get me to a place where I've got two screens on one side and two screens on the other, and so I can see chat rooms and all that sort of stuff going on.
Very cool.
I was able to do a relay show with these two Skype connections. Anyway, so now 20 past the hour, I'll try and remain online to everybody. But first, why don't you introduce yourselves to the Ever Beyond audience?
Okay. Go ahead, Rick.
My name's Rick, and this is my partner Annie. Anybody who is familiar with us, we started our career in radio on Revolution Radio after being frequent callers of different networks all around the globe and waking to the New World Order, Old World Order nightmare, doing our research, and you know, we wanted to be a voice and we ended up over here at Wolf Spirit Radio. We love all the people here, and Dave's an awesome person, and we live in Florida. We're pretty much prepping. We live on the St. John's River, about 45 minutes inland from Daytona Beach and St. Augustine, and I find learning about all this information really fascinating, you know. And I like to go and do the research, and you know, where I used to be a rock singer in a band and watch TV and movies, since I started waking up and searching for the facts and the truth, it's quite mind-blowing, you know. The whole Illuminati influence on music, movies, politics, banking, the law system, everything. They got their hand in everything, you know.
Would they like to hear a little bit about my background? My background,
are we on? Can everybody hear you?
My background is, I'm from Providence, Rhode Island, lived there all my life, went to school for radio and television, worked at a major rock station out there, 94HJY, for 6 years. Dabbled in producing on the AM side, WHJJ, the talk of Providence, and got my feet wet there. And then I woke up to the truth. We started calling shows, and then we got gig on Revolution, and now the rest is history. I'm now a wolf cub.
Yeah, we're running with the pack.
Running with the pack.
We're running with the pack. The people here at Wolf Spirit Radio are definitely really cool people, and I like listening to everybody's shows. Went to a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike again. I was talking and nothing was coming out. Jerry, very good. Rick, can you hear me again?
Yeah. If you want, you might want to. We're both breaking up according to the chat room. You might want to reboot or fire up another computer, and just we'll let everybody know in the chat room not to go anywhere, but we're going to fix the issue and just take a few minutes to reboot and call me back or go on another.
Yeah, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that. I'll just put a little tune on.
Because everybody says we're all breaking.
Yeah.
No, and I think it's on your end because it. All right, well, Annie's in the chat. She'll let everybody know that there'll be some dead air for a few minutes. All right?
Yeah, I'll just play a tune.
All right.
Hello, and welcome back to Ever Beyond. We have switched computers. I've fiddled about with the microphone. I'll fiddle about with it more. There's a bit of crunching noise. I am welcoming back Rick and Annie, and also bringing in Sally. I don't even know what your surname is, Sally.
My surname?
Yes, how do we know you?
Sally.
Okay, Sally, so we have Annie and Sally and Rick. Rick, are you there with us? How are you coming through now?
Good. You're still breaking up just a tiny bit, but...
Really?
How do we sound? Can you hear us?
Yeah, you're coming through.
Are we breaking up?
A-okay.
Okay.
A-okay, so...
Great.
All right, so, where were we?
Where were we?
In 19... you know, the first time I heard about this whole story... I was
16, this was in the 70s, and I was in my first band, and the drummer we had, he was a bit mad. He used to come out with all these funny little things. He said that Kentucky Fried Chicken was made of rats, and, he was like Mr. National Enquirer. And one of the things that he did say was that Paul McCartney was dead. And we were all like, oh, yeah, no. A couple of years later, John Lennon was definitely. We used to kind of vilify him for it, but then a couple of years ago, my whole interest was reawakened, and I started looking on the net, and there are sites all over the net. Like, all is dead. All is alive. All is dead. All is alive. Here's the evidence. Here's the proof. All this stuff. I started doing some shows on it. So every so often, I bring somebody else in and say, "What do you know about this story?" Because and the story seems to be growing. We do seem to be seeing false personages. Let's put it that way: false personages on the TV. And we started out with these new stars, and then we discovered that there's this group called the Crisis Actors, who do all this stuff at 9/11 and all these false flags, and you can see it's the same woman, even with the same glasses,
the cowboy, he's been in a lot of.
Yeah,
the cowboy's been in a lot of them.
So it's a fascinating thing. So where do you want to start? Who's got some nuggets? Some McCarthy nuggets or some Elvis nuggets?
Actually, Annie's got a clip where George Harrison, before his death, is on a television show, and you can clearly hear him refer to Paul as Fall with an F. Now, this is one of the Beatles, and what he's talking about is there's a personal problem, meaning like it's a hint of his person, who he is as a person, with Fall. And if Fall would come out and set the history of the Beatles straight, then it would be him and Ringo's problem. So...
It's like a and word then, association.
Right, and then he says, because I don't have time to screw around anymore. Now, this is after the fact that he's already had a mind control person try to stab him in his home. And now he's found out that he's got cancer and he's ill. And, you know, they finally got him. I believe it was weaponized cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, people are saying I sound like I'm in a canyon, so I'm boosting up my volume a little bit here.
It was on a
I'm in a canyon, too, Michael.
There's a live mic on the same channel. God, it's not a good day. I'm sorry, everybody. It's just not
that's
been
okay.
A good
day. Hey, that's live radio for you.
That's right. Everything's crackling. Everything's the poor connections.
Well, welcome to live radio.
Hey, Annie, I like your sound effects.
Thank you.
What? The echo?
Annie echo.
Hello.
Hey, do it again. Do it again.
Hello, hello. I don't know why you say goodbye. I say hello. Say yes. I figured we're talking about Paul and the Beatles, so.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Well, I mean, this is part of the thing, is that, you know, being honest citizens and being honest people, the three Beatles... and you will see that they changed their name from The Beatles to Beatles, as in some Beatles, after 1966, and that Sgt. Pepper's cover was the grave of the Beatles. It very clearly looks like a grave, and there's Paul written in flowers down there in the shape of a left-handed bass guitar. And you know all these clues. You know, here's another clue for you all. The Walrus was Paul, and
right.
All of those rather macabre things.
Very, very much so. And the cover story is that MI5 or MI6. Which was involved in helping the creation of the Beatles through the Tavistock industry to bring about promiscuous behavior and drug usage so that they could discredit the youth around the world that would protest wars and everything. And this is substantiated. You can do research on it. Just do research for the Beatles and Tavistock. I'm sure you've looked into that as well, right?
Totally.
Well, my opinion is if anybody thinks that John Lennon thought this up by himself to give clues and that MI5 and 6 are not smart enough, I mean, they're the British equivalent of the CIA. So if he's leaving clues on the albums and backward messages and messages in the songs, I'm sure that they were well aware of it, and probably they were the ones that was telling John to do that, so that if it came out, if somebody actually had proof, then they could keep the Beatles going and he could say, well, we tried to warn you and tell you the truth. Like on the back of the album that came out after they had replaced Paul, the Sgt. Pepper's album, you see the three surviving Beatles facing forward, and the Paul character is facing the opposite way. And he's taller than the Paul who was in Help and Hard Day's Night. It's been said that the mustache he wore was fake. And when you go on YouTube and start looking at facial comparisons, the new Paul, we'll call Fall, which means fake Paul, has a different facial structure. The old Paul had more of a rounder face. And, you know, we know that through plastic surgery and that people like Hitler or Saddam could have doubles. So when you realize how much money was invested in the Beatles and the greater reason for the project, it's easily understandable how if Paul, the cute one as they called him, had an accident, which I don't even believe it was an accident. Officially what the story goes is that Paul and John had an argument at the recording studio at 3 or 4 in the morning, and he stormed out, got in his little sports car, and went cranking through the streets at, you know, 4 in the morning or whatever on his way back home. And he picked up a hitchhiker, a female, who, when she realized it was one of the Beatles, she got hysterical and tried to hug him and caused the car crash. In my opinion, I would say that that's most likely a lie. Are you still hearing me? Are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I think what was probably closer to the truth is that they were probably having a disagreement. Maybe Paul didn't want to do this. Maybe they found out they're being used and stuff, and an argument does ensue. But the place is obviously tapped. They're listening to everything these guys are saying. And Paul storms off, and we know how the CIA or the British Crown, how, you know, they like to cause car accidents and take people out if there's a problem, like they did with Diana, and many times, you know, our own CIA has done that. So what I think is more... Yeah, what I think is more likely is that they were told Paul's been compromised, she's running his mouth, he's not going to go along with this, or there's a problem. So, you know, they might have tracked where he was going, and something hit his car with great force, and they took him out, probably. So then, after this supposed accident... the Beatles were notified in the studio and picked up in a van and taken to the scene of the accident, where supposedly the girl who was in the car with them went to call for help, and when she came back, the gasoline had spilled and the car exploded, decapitating him. And they were probably told, basically, this is what happened to your buddy, you know, we don't... Any questions? Like, we've got a lot invested in this whole project. And wow. All the clues and what they talk about, plus facial comparisons. And do you remember when Heather Mills was trying to get a divorce settlement going with the man claiming to be Paul McCartney? That she made some television appearances where she seemed quite afraid, and she was saying that that if somebody offs me, I've given this material and evidence to lots of other people, and it's all going to come out. What is she talking about? It's all going to come out.
Exactly. Heather's magic box. What's in Heather's magic box?
Yeah.
I'd love to know. You know, what kind of proof would there be? Maybe, I mean, we do know about things like witness protection programs, where people's names and everything is changed, and so they can do that. We do know about, like you were saying, you know, doubles and plastic surgery and all that, and so they can do that. They actually found a very talented man. I have to say that McCartney, or Will, or Will Campbell.
Yeah.
I'm Willie Campbell. Sorry, that's...
William Shears.
Billy's here.
William Shears Campbell, yeah. And do you want to tell the audience what the story is, how they found this guy?
Yeah, well, apparently the story goes is that, I think it was in Canada even, is that they ran...
No, it was on Dick Clark's American Bandstand.
Oh, right. Oh, tell me more, because I didn't know very much about that aspect of it.
Well, they ran a Paul lookalike contest, someone who looks like him and can sing like him. And, but the odd thing is they never announced a winner. So then this man, supposedly William Shears Campbell... who was right-handed when Paul was a left-handed bass player, was then groomed to do the voice and to learn how to play left-handed, and went through many plastic surgeries to make him look more and more like the real Paul, and the whole Beatles sound formed so it wouldn't be as easily noticed, because old Beatle music is very pop rock orientated. Songs like She Loves You and I Want to Hold Your Hand and almost bebop 50s style pop rock kiddie music. And then they started coming out with this psychedelic sound like Strawberry Fields and the Sgt. Pepper's album. So... it's so they hold this contest on American Bandstand, but they never announce the winner, and that's supposedly how they found this guy.
Yeah, the picture I can see that's better here. There is one picture of him, which is in the now was it? It's the poster that goes with the Beatles White album, it's just a little picture, and I think it's down towards the bottom left, and it looks like a passport.
That's the one where he's wearing glasses.
Yeah, where he's wearing glasses.
Yeah, he's wearing glasses. Right.
Yeah. So presumably he wore contact lenses on stage.
Yeah, and if you
and that Annie colored his eyes because he's got different color eyes.
I did.
Right. How long did the public actually get to hear and see the real Paul?
Do you know how they pulled this off, JP? This is how they did.
Okay,
this
Annie, is how they pulled it.
Because Paul died in 66, so that didn't give the public enough time to hone in on his voice, but he really sounded like all looked like.
In other words, we've heard more of the fake Paul than we have of the real Paul.
That's right.
And we've seen more of the fake Paul than we have of the real Paul. And we were discussing this with Wingman the other day, because we wanted to do a show on the Elvis and the Paul McCartney conspiracy. And Wingman and I were looking at facial comparisons, and he's showing me on his screen, look at the chin, look at this, look at his face. This guy's got a higher eyebrows, and the other guy... the original Paul, his eyebrows were more pronounced and higher up, farther away from his eyes than the newer Paul.
Paul has a very, very high, flat forehead, he grew a fringe. I think you call it bangs, but he grew a fringe to come down below the level of his eyebrows, which took a lot of hair. Because the original Paul McCartney had a very low brow. He was literally a low brow. The distance was only like an inch and a half from the top of his eyebrow to his hairline. Whereas Paul has got like 4 inches. He's like Frankenstein compared with the thing. And there's the line in the Boy, You've Been a Naughty Boy.
Or the
man,
other
you've been
way
a naughty
around.
Boy.
Yeah.
You let your face grow long. So indicating that Paul's face was longer, you know, in
right.
The walrus, you know. Which is,
yeah,
of
when
course,
you look at two pictures, they show, there was one comparison we were looking at that showed the real Paul in 66, and they're showing you another picture of the fake guy in 68, and when you look at the pictures side by each, you can tell the real Paul McCartney had more of a roundish head, like a basketball, where the other guy's head is more egg-shaped. It's longer, you know?
In fact, Linda McCartney got to be married to Paul McCartney because she,
Fall,
because she was a photographer and part of the Eastman family that owned Kodak, and she had taken pictures of the real Paul McCartney and said, hey, I really want to be a rock star, and I really want, and I really like Paul McCartney, so if you marry me and make me a star in your band, then I'll keep it quiet.
Get it? She had some goods on him. She's looking at the photos going, wait a second.
Exactly.
In other words, that's how she weaseled her way into becoming Mrs.
Fall McCartney.
Exactly. And, you know, the whole Linda McCartney thing is like, it was always like, Denny Lane, he's a pretty good musician. McCartney, he's not bad. He's a bit ploddy. Plod, 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 plod. And who the heck is that woman? I mean, she was terrible. She was absolutely awful. And their songs were really... The only decent song was Band on the Run, which I'm sure is made out of bits of Denny Lane's material.
Wow.
You know, because already he...
He had a few good songs on his own. He had a few good songs on his own, but they were different.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, all right? Now, I'm a musician, and I've spoken about this before, but just to...
Myself,
kind of,
too, so...
So you'll know what I'm talking about. If you were to listen to the bass playing of the various Paul McCartneys, or rather, if you listen to the bass lines on Beatles records, starting in 62 and going on through 66, 60, 67, and then, you'll see that there's a transition. And what happened is that the transition went from what I call melodic, and more like a kind of country style, to a rhythmic, in that it would go from... Now, and then there's also the fact that George Harrison played a lot of the bass lines and wrote a lot of the bass lines and taught... Fall, you know, precisely how to play them. Fall is a great imitator. He can copy people really well. So
right.
He's, you know, if you ever hear him do voices, he's very good at accents and stuff like that.
Right, and the other thing is the old, and I know because I learned how to, I became a singer because when I was a kid, I was listening to my mom's 8-tracks and Beatle records and Elvis records. So me finding out I had a voice was me sitting in the basement as a 5, 6, 7-year-old singing to the Elvis stuff and the Beatles stuff. And the first album I had was, one of them I remember was called Introducing the Beatles. And they had a rockabilly sound because they were big into Elvis and everything. So the songs are songs like I Saw Her Standing There, Baby It's You. They were copying a lot of American rock and roll early on. They did a lot of covers. And even Ringo, like in the song Boys and songs like A Taste of Honey. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Very, very bebop, 50s orientated, pop rock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the second Paul, Fall, has like a Broadway element to him. That you'd hear songs like Maxwell Silverhammer and Rocky Raccoon and she's very show tunes like orientated.
Yeah,
it's a total difference from the old Beatles to the new.
Yeah, and
so I think. go ahead.
So, and also, you know, he's got, like you say, a musical like a pantomime. You know, Mary had a little lamb, nursery rhymey things. Whereas Paul was talking about love and how he felt and all of these very personal things. The other guys, you lost your love,
you know. Yeah. Till all of a sudden, bang, bang, Maxwell Silver Hammer came down. It's like two different people and styles of music.
Exactly,
too,
exactly.
You know?
So anyway, back to the bass playing. So we went from something very melodic like that, for instance, Michelle.
Michelle, yeah. My bell.
And
song in French. Part in French.
Exactly. And he comes in, and then suddenly, where does that bloody piano come from? This piano that's going dang, 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 dang. You know? It becomes.
And he started putting that piano
everywhere.
In everything.
Yeah, because that's Fall. He's a plod.
Right.
He plays plod. And this is where I'm getting to. You then listen to him playing bass, and it's like boom, 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 boom. You listen to Wings music, boom, 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 boom. Now, that's great. That's a pop.
Someone's knocking at the door.
Yeah, and it's
somebody ringing the bell.
Exactly. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, all of that. You know, all of these subsequent tunes, you can hear that's Fall in this pedestrian beat by people who play music.
Even Helter Skelter, you know.
Mm. Oh, that's a great comment from the chat, that they heard that John was killed when he was going to go public with the fact that Tavistock was writing all this stuff.
Yeah, well, he was going to go public with the Fall thing, which was bad enough, and the penalty for breaking the Official Secrets Act is death. So he was executed. He was executed.
Right.
And who did he call? Who did he call 2 weeks beforehand? Who did he say he
Fall.
Was going
to...
Fall.
Paul McCartney.
Yes.
He told him, hey, if you don't come out and tell them, I'm going to tell them. Enough time has gone by. We need to expose the truth now.
Yeah, yeah, and...
And George did the same thing.
Exactly, and 2 weeks later, he gets a nutter with a knife in his house.
Yeah?
Mr. Fortress, he finds a guy in his house.
Yeah.
You know, how did the SAS get him in there? Oh, sorry, I mean, you know, or Mossad, or whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever the heck. So, yeah.
Well, they're all the same organization working together.
Exactly, and...
what do you think about Yoko Ono?
I was just going to say, and Yoko... Yoko is obviously a handler.
Right.
Thank you.
What do you think, Annie?
Yeah, that's also been...
Annie, speak.
I think so, JP, because I heard that her family is a bunch of wealthy bankers.
Really?
that she had possible CIA connections.
And how come that the only one that was knighted of all the Beatles is Sir Paul McCartney?
Well, because
knighted by the Queen.
Yeah, well, he was given the job, it was like a mission, really. Keep the Beatles together.
Yep.
That was his mission.
Right.
So
because they had a lot invested in him, so exactly.
And of course he was happy.
And the thing that bothers me about the whole thing is George and John, you know, John is accused of being an atheist or agnostic and a communist, and George seems to be all over the place in his search for God, where, you know, like in My Sweet Lord, he's singing, to me, it's to Jesus Christ and to Hare Krishna, like to... Basically, whoever you are, God, I really want to know you, you know,
well,
our creator.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. In other words, a lot of people believe in a different name, but the creator is the creator, whoever that might be, whatever it might be. And yet these two men were viciously taken out two bouts of weaponized cancer for George after they stabbed him and his wife saved him by smashing a lamp over the mind-controlled assassin. And John, we all know he was gunned down by a mind-controlled assassin because the guy had Catcher in the Rye in his pocket and he didn't run. Somebody said they lost me.
No, you're still here.
We're getting
a bit of interference on the stream here. We're back on Wolf Spirit Radio.
It's Yoko Ono.
Yeah, with just 1 minute. Oh no, it's still a bit. Trouble is, I'm colorblind, right? And I can't tell the difference when the stream is working or when it's not working because it goes red and green. And like, I can't tell the difference between either of them. I have the same thing with LEDs. You know, you get these red and green LEDs.
Wow.
So we're getting a bit of interference. It's funny, our Skype. Hang on, I'm gonna disconnect the stations. And reconnect them. Try again. Welcome back to No Borders, and having a bit of trouble here. So I wonder what's going on. I'm not getting a download or anything somewhere. Yes.
Maybe it's Her Majesty's Secret Service.
That's right. That's right. They don't want Wolf Spirit Radio to hear about it. let's try.
We're reading the chat and they're saying that we're bouncing in and out again.
There we go. Right. Stop that.
All right.
There we go. There we go. All right, hi folks. We should be back. boys need a real job. Yeah, yeah. I'm still getting a few hits here. It may be my neighbors downloading stuff or uploading stuff. It's should disconnect them. Sorry. Meanwhile, meanwhile, we got some fake people that we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the false Paul McCartney, and we'll be dealing with Elvis and Alex Jones in a wee while. But we'll stick on top of it and just kind of wrap all these things up. Okay, so what we have is, like George was saying, well, it's between Ringo and Paul.
Right, and I've got that clip if you want me to play it.
Can you play that through the sound?
Yeah. So I want to make
which
sure
one
that
you which one you want?
It's
just to say, I we were kind of treading water while the stream was disconnected, so you won't miss much. Okay, so we're going to as if you could backtrack. we're still getting stream issues. This is I am going to have to reboot my
alright, you want to reboot and call us back?
Yeah,
because before we try to play the clip we should make sure that everybody can hear it.
Yeah, okay, so listen, I'm going to reboot my router and get a new IP address, and we'll be back in don't go away, we'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes. Do excuse us. You'll hear some music.
Confirmation.
Now we're back on. Now we are back on. Now
sounds good. Now
we are here. Speak. So, where were we?
As soon as we have confirmation, what we're gonna do is I'm gonna play a short.
They're hearing us.
I'm gonna play a short clip where you will hear George Harrison actually saying "fall," not Paul. He's using the F, and they called him Fall, meaning the fake Paul.
John made that up.
John Lennon. And he says Fall twice, and he drops a clue as to it's a personal problem, a problem with his person, and that the history needs to be straightened out. Then it'll be me and Ringo's problem. Because John is dead, he's not the real Paul. So they are the two surviving Beatles, and that's what needs to be brought out. And the other thing that's a clue here is this is taking place after the Beatles were inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Paul didn't show up because he's not a real Beatle.
That's right.
So it's another part of the mystery.
Another clue
for you. But anyways, Annie's going to trigger this, and you'll hear... If I might even play it twice, just so you can hear it twice.
What was with Paul?
And, yeah.
I had a... Sorry.
Alrighty, so, here we go.
It's hard for Australians, I'm sure, when you think of the Beatles tours to Australia, it's hard for an Australian to believe that you three guys who remain don't get on.
We all have concepts of each other, you know?
I don't expect you to go into the finances of it, the details, but is it really, you know, question over $1 million or $100 million? Is that the sort of thing?
It's not really to do with anything like that. It's the personal problem Paul had, which was not actually his problem. It was mine and Ringo, because because of what the history should show. As soon as we do that, Paul will be free of any problem he may have of us, because I don't have time to screw around anymore, you know?
So there you go. We'll let you hear it one more time. He says, fall, and, you know, a personal problem, and he doesn't have time to screw around anymore.
I'm sure when you think of the Beatles tours to Australia, it's hard for an Australian to believe that you three guys who remain don't get on.
We all have concepts of each other, you know?
I don't expect you to go into the finances of it, the details, but is it really, you know, question over $1 million or $100 million? Is that the sort of thing?
It's not really to do with anything like that. It's the personal problem Paul had, which was not actually his problem, it was mine and Ringo, because of what the history should show. As soon as we do that, Paul will be free of any problem he may have of us, because I don't have time to screw around anymore, you know?
It's hard for Australians, I'm sure, when you think of
Okay, so we're going to drop that link in the chat room.
Yeah, and everybody can see it.
Go ahead, Annie.
Listen carefully.
Okay.
Okay, so that link...
Go ahead,
that link's in the chat room now.
Yeah, and just listen carefully to, you know, you can very, very distinctly hear him saying Paul and not Paul. And he was very, choosing his words very carefully. Is like, and what the history will show kind of thing.
Right.
That he was saying, you know, because, like, presumably there... They were told that there would be a time limit on this, and that one day, there in the arrangement, that one day there's the great reveal.
That they'd be able to tell the truth, right? Yeah.
And that was one of the things that we were thinking about 2012, wasn't it? What's that, Annie?
Hey, did you know also know that when they created Apple Records, that the proceeds will go to the real Beatles, and that the Paul McCartney character was paid on salary.
That's
so
right.
Apple was meant to cut him out.
That's right.
In other words,
a poor corporation.
Yeah.
Yeah, Apple, I mean, it's unbelievable as to the lengths that people will go to. It's a conspiracy. And they've used it to create the word conspiracy theory. I can hear air on your side now.
Yeah.
Your mic needs to come up or go down or something. It just started.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah,
it went away now. What did you just do because you fixed it?
Yeah, I touched... I believe my mic cable is dodgy, so... I have to change the cable. I did use a different cable from normal. I thought, because I got this 10-foot cable that is coiled around and coiled around and makes a mess. So I thought, oh, I'll put a 2-foot cable in, and obviously the 2-foot cable's got a break in it, which is why I never use it.
It's all right, like we said.
Meanwhile,
radio.
So why do you think Ringo is so quiet? I think Ringo is terrified. Ringo's not a sophisticated guy.
Oh, I think
guy.
The same thing. Yes, I think the same thing. He's the last Beatle, really.
Yeah.
In actuality, he is the last did to his two brothers, basically. So, would you say anything? And I'm sure he's got grandchildren, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What would you do, you know?
Well, I saw this thing a few years ago with Ringo, and he was saying, like, please stop sending me stuff. Please stop sending me letters and all this stuff. You know, peace and love, but, like, please stop sending me stuff.
Well, I'm sure if I met Ringo, and the funny thing is a drummer of mine also ran a limousine service up north, and... And he actually picked Ringo up to do his all-star band concert and brought him to the venue that they were playing at. So, and he got free tickets to go into the show and sit front row with Ringo. And his wife, not Ringo's wife, but my friend, who's a drummer, his wife doesn't particularly care too much for music. Go figure. You know, my friend who's a drummer marries this chick. They're divorced now, but... And Every time I hear Ringo Starr now, I think of this story. Bill tells me he's sitting front row watching Ringo's all-star band, and Ringo literally stops the concert, and he looks down at my friend's wife, and he says, "How come you're not clapping and singing along? You look unhappy or something. Don't you like music?" And she said, "I don't really care too much for music."
Yes, but she
can
does,
you imagine that?
She does care. she does care for money, I bet.
And the whole... Well, no, it was my friend Bill's wife who said that.
Oh, well.
Not Ringo's wife.
Oh, right.
Talk about embarrassing, huh? Yeah. And you got to drive this guy home after, back to his hotel or whatever.
That's one of those awkward moments.
Yeah. But, yeah, back to what we were talking about regarding the spirituality of John and George. There are also many clips showing John speaking out against war and the Illuminati, those who control the world, who war and who don't want peace, who constantly try to divide and conquer us. I think basically that the Beatles probably might not have been totally Masonic and all that, but they were being used for that purpose. And at some point, John decides that he's gonna speak out against war and all that stuff, and he became a problem. You know, I mean, they were trying to put him on what? Possession of marijuana charges, and FBI and Hoover was really worried that this guy could be revolutionary. If he said kill, millions of fans would kill. And this is around the time that, you know, the Vietnam protests and the hippie movement, and there was a lot of turmoil in the United States of America at that time. And around the same time, Elvis is meeting with President Nixon, writing a letter that our country is in grave danger, and I would volunteer my services as, you follow me?
Good segue. Very good segue. Let's talk about Elvis.
Thank you very much.
That he had... Now, it was the same people who made the film about the Paul McCartney conspiracy as they made...
Highway 51.
Highway
yeah.
51 people and Joel
yeah,
Gilbert.
61. Yeah.
Yeah. Joel Gilbert is the guy's name, and I've wanted to interview him for a long time. I want to try and get him on. Basically, that he made another film, another documentary about this guy who walks like Elvis, smells like Elvis, talks like Elvis.
Sounds like him.
And
you want to bring that page up?
Well, yeah, if Annie can drop it in the chat room. So let's go over to Elvis. Of course, you know, there's the musical connection and the connect and all those other things. But Elvis has a military manager, didn't he? He was a colonel or something? Not Colonel Sanders.
Colonel Tom Parker, yeah.
Colonel Parker, that's right. So he already had military connections.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing is if rock and roll was created to bring the youth culture down a slippery slope to promiscuous behavior and drugs and all that, because let's face it, these New World Order people have always been about heroin and narcotics and drugs and, you know, East India and all of that stuff. Annie was asking me for the link. Let's go to, like, Elvis has become the biggest singing star since Sinatra, and he's on television shows, he's doing 3 or 4 movies a year, and he's touring around the country. And all of a sudden, he gets drafted when it's not even wartime. So that doesn't make too much sense unless what the goal would be is something going on over there in Germany to get Elvis out of the public eye so that he could be mind controlled. And we had Fritz Springmeier on the other night, and we talked about that, and he totally believes that there's been a lot of information out there that Elvis, while in Germany, was mind controlled.
Well,
you hear me? Did we go dead again?
No. Everything's good.
So when you look at the fact that Britney Spears and all these Disney kids that go on to become music performers or actors are being used by Illuminati mind control to trick the masses and to confuse people with celebrity and to be a distraction from the real news about what's going on behind our governments and get people all into more talking at the water cooler that Britney Spears with no underwear and this, that, and the whole nine yards, and did you see Madonna and her kissing on stage, and it all plays in. I mean, when you look at all that stuff, Sally wants to join.
Okay, bring her in.
I tried to. She's probably going to have to call back, I guess. Unless you want to drag her in, but she's on my contacts, so...
Yeah, I don't know.
Let me see if I can drag her in. But, so what I'm trying to say to you is, we've only heard about Illuminati mind-controlled youth in today's culture. And what I'm saying to you, and what Fritz would say, is that all started with the end of World War II. Under Operation Paperclip, they brought over scientists that had done trauma-based mind control in the concentration camps to Jews and Christians and dissidents. So we're looking at a few years after the end of World War II, and we're not at wartime, yet they take their guy that's making tons of movies and getting people into the whole rock and roll rebellion thing, and they take him out of circulation and say that, well, he's been drafted. So while Elvis is over there, here's the other thing as far as to be able to try to control him. We all know that senators and congressmen, if they can get you on film or messing around with an underage kid or a girl or homosexual relationships or involved in some sort of scandal, it's easy to control that person. Well, who does Elvis meet while he's in Germany being mind controlled? But he falls in love with a 14-year-old girl named Priscilla, who's the daughter of an American Army official.
Yeah, military intelligence, maybe.
Of course.
Right. So now they've got him.
They're all monarchs as well.
Right, so now they got him, basically, that would be rape. She's 14 and he's what, in his 20s? She eventually comes back to the States and he marries her when she's 18 or 19, but they started messing around when she was 14 years old and the daughter of another serviceman. So, Fritz definitely believes that he was trauma-based mind control. He had a lot of issues. And then you look at the fact that he's traveling around with his group of security people that they all joked and called the Memphis Mafia, that he had given orders that if anybody, he was in fear for his life that someone was going to kill him. So I don't think he was just afraid of a fanatic, And when John was killed, he probably knew what was going on. Well, no, John was killed after the fact, but that's right. Right, sorry. Wrong sequence, wrong time. But,
well, maybe Elvis was a detective. But, I've got a couple of auxiliary theories, just to take it back to the McCartney thing, is that I believe that... Jimi Hendrix, Paul Jones, Brian Jones, and who's that? But these very high profile rock deaths.
Oh, it's called throwing you from the train. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah,
it is a sacrifice.
But also that they were gonna squeak as well, because
right, and that
Hendrix knew Linda McCartney, and she would have squeaked to him. And Brian Jones was in the Rolling Stones, and they've made their deals. Maybe he was the sacrifice for them.
Right, somebody else just mentioned in the chat room, consider how Elvis's manager, Colonel Tom Parker, another well-trained CIA handler, and, you know, he's probably a Freemason, you know, high ranking. He was up there.
So was Adam Sullivan.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people in the entertainment industry.
I couldn't
believe that, Sammy Davis Jr. is good friends with Anton LaVey and a high-ranking Satanist, along with Bob Hope and all these different people.
What do you think? What else do you think was going on, like you were saying?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, is, you know, back to Willie Campbell.
I can't hear you.
Huh?
Is there a time lag?
Hold on again.
Annie was asking you a question, JP.
Hello, no.
JP?
Sorry.
Your mic cord cut out again.
Bloody mic. Stephanie, I'm going to have to...
Yeah, I would say I wanted to hear what more information you had.
Well, this other thing, which is now gone...
What they call that, by the way, what you were talking about, is if you make a deal with them for fame, and you don't keep that deal, they throw you from the freedom train, meaning they cause an accident or suicide.
Right, I get you. So, this is...
My cord's doing it again. Wiggle it.
All right. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. So, what I was saying is that... All right, so the Rolling Stones, right? You look at the Rolling Stones today, right? They are going to die on the road, because that's the deal that they made.
No, it's still going in and out. You got to wiggle it a different way. And
how about...
If you get it in a good position, you might want to put some duct tape. There you go.
Yeah.
It's good now.
All right, okay. So, sorry about that. Sorry about your ears.
That's all right.
I'm going to get a new cable in a second, but I can't go anywhere because I've got extendable headphones. Anyway, so... It's all very crazy, yeah. So, the connection between Anton LaVey, Aleister Crowley, the Church of Satan, the military, Joseph Mengele... is a oily, sludgy thread that runs through the music business. It goes with all of these famous deals with the devil. You know, I'm not sure if you actually do have to make an album and have a title.
Well, Bob Dylan said so.
Is that what he said? What did he say?
Well, we'll probably line up some of these clips because we're going to do part two to this show on our show tomorrow, and you're invited to come on with us.
Oh, thank you very much. What time is that?
That's like 12.
East Coast time, it's noon time for us. On the East Coast, it's 9 a.m. on the West Coast in America. Where, for you, I'm not sure, but East Coast time here, it'll be noon time.
5 in the afternoon.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well,
so jump on board. So jump on board with us.
Yeah. He's being interviewed by Ed Bradley on 60 Minutes, and Bob Dylan clearly says, "Well, I made a deal," and he said, "Made a deal with who?" And he said, "Well, the high commander of this world." And the look on his face is like, "You're kidding me!" And he said, "Yeah, well, I made a deal, and let's just say I'm keeping up my end." A deal for what? He said, "Well, to get to where I'm at and to have, you know, this fame and this position that I have, and let's just say I'm keeping up my end of the bargain. Because if you don't, you end up getting suicided like so many of these celebrities that are dropping dead. And if anybody's ever seen the movie Vacation with Chevy Chase, the funny guy who played his brother-in-law,
Randy Quaid,
the brother of Dennis Quaid, a couple of years ago, he did a press conference arriving in Canada saying that the Jewish satanic mafia is killing stars and I want nothing to do with the entertainment industry. And here he is asking for political asylum over in Canada. So, Heath Ledger,
yeah,
the guy from In Excess, Michael Hutchins,
yeah,
David Carradine, the guy from Kung Fu, and there's even questions.
Whitney Houston,
some people even question the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash and that they were all supposed to die, because Ronnie was stepping up against drugs and against. Well, and Ronnie, the original singer for Skynyrd, the one who wrote all the great songs, not his crappy sounding brother who's been riding his coattails for 30 years, but the original singer who sang Sweet Home Alabama, Free Bird, he's doing songs like That Smell and Needle in the Spoon, telling people don't do drugs. He's doing songs that worship the real God, Simple Man, and Don't Forget, Son, There Is Someone Up Above. And he also had a song that was called Things Going On That You Don't Know, where he was basically telling people that they're going to destroy the air we breathe and they're going to turn this whole country into a giant ghetto, you know. And maybe we'll play that song on the show tomorrow. But there just seems to be, put it this way, when they say an artist died of an overdose or was killed in an accident or committed suicide, you really have to look deeper into it.
So what's your thoughts on that, JP?
Yeah, there we go. I think rather than they committed suicide, suicide was committed on them. That weapons guy in Britain who disagreed with Tony Blair, who apparently committed suicide but couldn't actually physically have done it because he didn't have the muscles in his arm that could do that movement. So they were busted on that.
Yeah, and then there's who was the other guy that I was just thinking of? I was going to mention and I just drew a blank.
I think we're being microwaved.
The other female, Amy Winehouse.
Oh, Amy. I love Amy Winehouse. She's close to me. She grew up near me. You know, she's like, I knew her uncle and stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
yeah. And there's an incredible amount of stuff about Whitney Houston, too. Donna Summer recently died also, so... You know, sometimes when these artists get old, if you look on YouTube about the numerology, the Luciferian Satanist movement tends to do things on certain days, certain times, numbers. The numerology plays into it big time because it does have a significant reason for all of that. Now, when... Whitney Houston supposedly drowned in her bathtub. Below her hotel room in the ballroom, they're celebrating a big anniversary party for Clive Davis, the guy who signed her, who is, you know, one of the CEOs or heads of a major record label in Atlanta, I believe it was. So everybody was saying, you know, she was a ritual blood sacrifice. I mean, that's what... The hard part to get over on people when you're trying to wake people up is that this isn't just greedy bankers. These are Satanists, Luciferians. this is a war between good versus evil.
And, you know, we spend a lot of time in music. And it, you know, people put a lot of effort and energy and attention into music. You know, particularly teens. I remember when I was growing up.
Right.
You know, it was really, really it's important what bands you liked. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. You ready? When I was a teenager, my first concert was Kiss. And when people were saying, oh, that means Knights in Service of Satan, you know, it was like, oh, come on. It's just like a freak show carnival type thing, you know.
Alice Cooper.
Yeah, Alice Cooper.
I Love the Dead, The Guillotine Trick.
Yeah.
come on.
Yeah, at a young age, and music has a hypnotic effect. And there's also the thing that when Lucifer, who was like second in command to the creator, was not fallen yet, that he was the angel of music. And within music, tones affect human beings. So when you look at how music has changed into really dark, like death metal and the boom that is in hip hop and rap, these low frequency tones and anger and hatred the modern music era.
Yeah.
You know, to get them young and to, I mean, there are a lot of great documentaries out there about Illuminati Satanism in the music industry. And, when you watch this stuff, it really, wow, it all makes sense.
Everybody's saying the sound is messed up again, so.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there.
I'm having trouble.
That's not your fault.
It's the Wolf Spirit stream is being, hacked, I believe. It's not coming from my end, because I'm actually unable to get hold of it. That's not.
Wow. Hey, that happened.
Do you want to hang up and call me back after you grab the stream again? Okay. Annie will tell in the chat room.
I'll let everyone.
What time is this going to be?
And we still got to do Alex Jones. Okay.
Right.
If they can let us.
All right. Bye. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Yeah. All right, later.
If not, we can always get.
Friggy for the moment. I got a new. Oh, I must be very. Oh my god! I'm surrounded by partially disconnected equipment. That if I move, and I jump around a bit. You know, I move around a lot, and if I move, I'm going to break something. And it's like one of those nights when I just stretch out and I kick something, and I realize that I've just knocked a hard drive over while it's spinning. You know. Anyway. Yeah.
Welcome back.
So I've this is my third IP number. This show, this is a very popular show with the fusion sensors. Obviously, we'll try and give them lots of keywords.
There we go. So
we're back with Rick and Annie, and we're discussing Paul McCartney, the return of Elvis as an FBI agent.
Secret agent. Elvis per Aaron Presley. Yeah, Jesse.
So, what have you heard about that? Because I haven't heard very much at all.
Actually, he supposedly has a new album up. If you can believe that.
Really?
I'm looking for the link here. And, when I can bring it up on Andy's computer, I'll play a track. But the evidence regarding Elvis's death, we're going to go into it deep tomorrow. But basically, there is more evidence that shows that he faked his death than there is evidence that he really died on August 16th, 1977. And some of the things that are covered in some of the documentaries that we're going to play clips from are things like, can you still hear me? JP?
Naughty microphone. Bad microphone.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna have okay, right.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Stay. Stay okay. Still. Not you, I'm talking to the mic.
Right.
So, I can't touch the table without the, yeah. Anyway,
some of the evidence.
The evidence.
We'll start with just prior to Elvis's death, he had multiple insurance policies. And he went and cashed them in, except for one. Meaning he wanted his equity. Meaning I'm canceling this policy, I'd like all my money now, please. And the one that he didn't cash in, still to this day, has not been cashed in. And the reason for that would be if his daughter or someone from his family would have cashed that insurance policy, and that would be insurance fraud if he's not really dead. So, besides the fact that he cashes in these insurance policies in this documentary, it also says that when after Elvis was dead, when they went to go gather up his jewelry and photo albums and diaries and they inventoried all of his stuff, that they were caught, all that stuff was missing. His personal albums, pictures of his mother and him and the family and Lisa Marie and his daughter and wedding albums and of him and Priscilla and his jewelry, a plane was missing, several cars were missing. Another piece of the evidence is that people who walked by the body in lying in state in the foyer at Graceland said that there were beads of sweat, what appeared to be condensation, on what is alleged to have been a wax dummy. Like, if you can imagine how, if you go to a wax museum, they have a dummy of somebody that looks just like the person.
Don't tell me he was doing a David Blaine.
Well,
that he was just standing really still.
No, it wasn't him in the casket. It was a wax dummy, and witnesses said the sideburns and the hairpiece was coming unglued, and somebody kept having to go over and try to fix it while distracting people to not see. And they all said it didn't look like him. Other evidence is, and we'll play this on the show tomorrow, is that they took a letter that was written to President Nixon offering his service to the country in an official capacity as an agent. Because the United States was in big trouble, supposedly. They took this letter that was written by Elvis in life, and they compared it to the person, the handwriting of the person who filled out the death certificate. When a professional handwriting analysis expert looked at both of these official documents, he concluded, and you'll hear it on the show, you'll hear him say, it's my opinion that the same man who wrote the letter to Elvis Presley is the same man who filled out Elvis's death certificate. So how could Elvis fill out his own death certificate? And then we go of the other evidence that we're going to present that is out there is that Elvis's name is spelled Elvis Aaron Presley with one A. On the tombstone at Graceland, there was two A's in the name. Elvis had requested in life he wanted to be placed by his mother. Everybody knew he was really close to his mother. Well, the marker for his gravesite is not next to his mother, and his name is spelled wrong. And there's just all of these anomalies. Elvis was also very good friends with Muhammad Ali, the boxer. Now, Muhammad Ali has MS or whatever, and nurses and doctors at the hospital Muhammad Ali was being treated at a few years after Elvis's death swear that a man who looks and sounds exactly like Elvis came to see Muhammad Ali in the hospital. And there's a photograph of this man who looks just like Elvis in the background amongst other people at the hospital where Muhammad Ali was. Elvis was also being spotted a lot around the Kalamazoo area. So when you hear people saying, oh yeah, I saw Elvis, some of these people might have been telling the truth, but it comes off like, oh yeah, sure, I saw Elvis, he's working at the car wash, or he's at Burger King or something.
So what do you have on, JP?
On the Elvis thing? I mean, it's well, you know, the Beatles, they were a British band, so, you know, and they were kind of closer, and Elvis was a sort of generation behind mine, so I wasn't so keen on Elvis. My brother-in-law, in fact, I don't know if he still does it, but he has erstwhile been an Elvis impersonator.
Wow, cool.
I don't speak about that much. My brother-in-law, Victor. But bless his heart. You know, he does this whole thing, you know. Yeah, we do a couple of Elvis songs in the band. That's all right, Mama, and all that stuff. So
I'd like to hear your band. You have them to record it?
Yeah. www.steelbadge.com.
Steelbadge.com. Thank you, sweetheart. I will check that out. I love to hear original music.
Yeah. Well, I'm. It's all cover bands. It's.
Well, that's cool too. I love music.
Yeah, I sang both covers and originals throughout the years. I also was in a few tribute bands and toured all over the country and stuff.
Okay, I got that written down so I can check that out. Definitely.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean.
Okay, Annie. Here's the link.
There we go. Steelbadge.com. Dave's already put it in there.
Bring up this page. There we go.
So, while you know, we've got about 20 minutes left, Rick.
Let's
go to Alex Jones. He wants
exactly.
Jones.
Let's cover Alex, because I mean, there was another snippet about Paul McCartney, which we could drop it in tomorrow. Just mention to me DNA, Annie. Just put a little note,
okay.
DNA, and we'll discuss that.
I write that down. Paul McCartney.
Yeah, DNA.
DNA. I'll write that down.
So, the last impersonator in our trio this evening is Alex Jones. Now, again, I have no proof of it, and this could all be real, just kind of a really, 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 really enormously big. The word's gone out of my mind. I'm losing it. I have to smell that peanut butter.
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy, is that the word?
Yeah.
I think a lot of
what they do is this Elvis and Beatle thing, in my opinion, is completely true. But there's a lot of disinfo going around there to try to make them all look like they're all just a joke. To make us, you know, so that people won't buy into any of it. So, but I will say there's been some facial comparisons of the eyes and the nose, and that he might have taken steroids or had some plastic surgery done. But if I had to bet my life on it, I couldn't bet my life that Alex is the base. Bill Hicks. But as far as the Elvis and Fall thing, if I could place a wager and bet everything I got and make a ton of money, I would, because I think there's enough evidence to prove those two things.
That's right.
What do you think about it though, JP?
Well, you know, my first reaction was, nah, absolutely, you know, load of bollocks. and which is, you know, often I, you know, people think I'm very credulous, but a lot of the time I think that's total bollocks. Because I can say bollocks on, there's no FCC rule saying that I can't say bollocks or not, whatever. Anyway, but then I looked at it and I thought, hang on a second. Yeah, I mean, who was Alex Jones? Suddenly he appears. I remember him in the late 90s because David Icke used to, I used to follow David Icke all the way. In the late 90s I started hearing about Alex Jones and he was the guy with the bullhorn and he was shouting at politicians, and then he got into Bohemian Grove and then it kind of all spiraled. But I
will say this,
yeah,
though, as far as Alex Jones goes, he's either in it for the money or if they can mind control movie stars and music stars, why couldn't they mind control a patriot leader for the controlled opposition?
Exactly.
And there's rumors that his wife would be his handler. She's of Jewish descent.
That's what Dave says. So there's rumors. That's right.
So him being all erratic and acting the way he does to kind of... He gives you 90% truth, but then he acts erratic. And the mainstream media says basically that, you know, he's a conspiracy nutcase. And I think the purpose of that is so that anybody waking to the truth who goes out and tries to tell people about New World Order or the Federal Reserve or any of the things that Alex gives out, people, you know, the sheeple will just say, oh, well, you're a nutcase just like that Alex Jones guy.
That's
so
right.
He's there, in my opinion, to discredit the truth.
Yeah. Controlled opposition, as you say.
Right.
Controlled opposition.
By the way, I have, in the last few minutes, we got like 20 minutes, mm-hmm. I've got some tracks of this man who claims he's Elvis, and one of them is a modern type thing, sound bites that he put together. Some of these songs are remakes of his old songs. Some of them are new original songs.
How bizarre. He becomes an Elvis impersonator. People will say, oh yeah, he's not that good.
Oh, well, this guy, I'll tell you what, I passed this around and I can't. He's the best ever, or he is Elvis. And this is a guy who's going by the name of Jesse, who Elvis's twin brother's name was Jesse, who died at birth. And if you want to, I can play you a few minutes of different clips, like, in other words, not the whole song, but just a little bit of it, so that they can get a little taste and hear. I mean, myself, the guy is dead on. I think it's him. Would you like...
Go on.
...to do that?
And then right. We got a question from Gary. Okay.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Now I'm back. Elvis is back. I am in the Federal Witness Protection Program. I led a secret life as a federal drug enforcement agent. Everyone thought I just liked to collect badges, infiltrate the mafia, body swap. In the witness protection program.
The body swap.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I just... The colonel was a degenerate gambler at the drug enforcement agency. And that was dangerous.
Counterintelligence program.
The colonel was becoming owned by the mob.
Infiltrate the mafia.
You want me to say something? I played a hero in all of my movies. In all of my movies. Now, I want to be one in real life. I read Captain Marvel Jr. Kalamazoo, Michigan. If I could help save America, maybe this was my real destiny. That God had prepared me for all this time. It was a natural thing to me, rock and roll music.
I'll always love you.
If you feel it, you can't help but move to it. Yeah. Captain Marvel Jr. and the Hidden Death.
Lord help me.
And now I'm back.
She said she had a gun. So I said, honey, I got 10.
I just love America. Everyone can be a superhero for America.
Thank
Elvis is back, so let's do it. We're fantastic. I am the Federal Witness Protection Program. I gotta get maybe way down here to the King of Rock and Roll. America. FBI code name. Tell you, Bruce, who in the world would ever suspect Elvis Presley was a federal agent? Here at the funeral, they buried a giant candle and a hair conditioner. Honey, don't you cry.
Did you see the movie, Blue Hawaii?
A man is just a child laying a man's body.
A couple of different things around.
The only thing worse than watching a bad movie is being in one. They turned my life into a cartoon. And I'd ask them if they loved America. Like nosedive. Still the king of rock and roll. They never dreamed.
That's right.
America's secret weapon, Daddy. Mom, President Nixon, Memphis Mom, Prison Break, Operation Trump, Paul Castellano, Mary Martin, the FBI, Frank Sinatra, the Weatherman, Gambino,
President Clinton,
Dr. Nick, Captain Marvel Jr., Bill Ayers, Black Panthers, who in the world would ever suspect Elvis Presley as president? Giving away Cadillacs was easier than giving clothes because they always fit. TCB, taking care of business. Everyone, Body Swap, can be a superhero for America. Body Swap, I love a secret lab. It's a federal drug enforcement agency. Hang on a second.
It's time for food, man.
That's amazing. I mean, it really, that sounds like Elvis.
Now check this out. Here's a remake of an old song that,
Where'd you get this stuff? Man, where'd you get this stuff?
Well, this mom, baby, left me a fine place to dwell. Is that the end of Lonely Street at Heartbreak Hotel? Well, I'll be so lonely, baby. I'll be so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room.
Sounds pretty good for 72, huh?
Holy Lord.
So, I'll be so lonely, baby. I'll be so lonely. I'll be so lonely. Let me die. Now the bellhop's ears keep blowing. The desk clerk's dressed in black.
So. Still there, Rick? Oh. More music.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right with you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right now, Mama. Anyway you do. But then Mama, she done told me. Papa done told me too. Son, I tell you who that was.
So there you go.
That is.
If you want my opinion, it sounds like him, man. It really does. I've heard lots of him.
More than sounds like him, it feels like him. You know. Like a musician, you know what people feel like. You can hear a guitarist. You can tell Stevie Ray Vaughan from Steve Vai. You know, everybody's
right,
got their signature,
right.
And you feel their signature, and that's what you like about their music, is because of their signature.
You also did a remake of "Are You Lonesome Tonight?"
Oh no, don't play
so
that.
I just want, what I wanted you to hear is the middle part where he speaks and says, "Are you lonesome tonight?"
Uh-huh.
The middle part. Let me forward fast it. And then we'll just talk the rest of the. All right.
At your doorstep, shall I come back again? Are you lonesome tonight? You know, I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. You know,
Someone said that the world's a stage, and each must play a part. Fate had me playing in love with you as my sweetheart. Act one was where we met. I'd loved you at first glance. You read your lines so cleverly and never missed a cue. Then came act two. You seemed to change. You acted strange. And why, I never know. Honey, you lied when you said you loved me. And I had no cause to doubt you. But I'd rather go on hearing your lies than to go on living without you. Now the stage is bare, and I'm standing there with emptiness all around me. And if you won't come back to me, then they can bring the curtain down. Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
So there you go.
Wow.
Is Elvis alive, and is he going to come back and fight the New World Order and expose stuff?
Yeah.
Stranger things could happen, man. They say at the end of times that truth will be stranger than fiction. And all I can say is I hope both kings come back soon.
Yeah. Well, that's
yeah.
I mean, okay. Elvis faking his death, yeah, well possible, many people have done it. Somebody being as good as a vocalist to completely get Elvis and update it, that's trickier. But somebody to feel like Elvis, no one else feels like Elvis.
Yeah, and you'll notice he sang a few things differently.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and I know as a cover singer and the tributes.
Hang on a second, somebody keeps calling. Right, stop that. Okay.
And if you're trying to impersonate somebody, you're going to try to sing it exactly the way that person did. No, and everything. But what this guy does in some of his songs is he's singing it slightly different as an older Elvis would, but he still sounds like Elvis. In other words, it doesn't sound like an impersonator trying to copy Elvis. Elvis wouldn't have to try to copy his old songs. He would just sing the songs.
Mm.
You'd have to remember he's 72, so he probably doesn't have the range that he once had before.
Or the wind.
Right, and I think, like I said, man, I love the guy, and I've heard a lot of good impressionists. This guy is either the greatest Elvis sound-alike in the history of the world, and this is a fraud, or it's him. Or it really is him, and he has been in the Witness Protection Program or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, so, first of all, we need to... can anybody get this material? Where does this come from?
Yeah, we can drop it in the chat room if you'd like.
Cool, please.
Along with that music...
Yeah. I got it.
What Annie's going to drop in the chat room, there's a song player on the left-hand side, right underneath where the world map is. Annie's going to drop it in. And also is... him giving permission to tell the world, to the website owner.
Right.
And a lot of letters, pictures of his mother's jewelry, correspondence between this Jesse character, and they show you pictures of the letters, and the handwriting has been established that it's Elvis's handwriting.
Mm.
What does it for me is... how come the Elvis Presley estate isn't suing? Because when you realize how much money can be made off somebody's name, Elvis is a corporation, you know. You can't sell something or proclaim something that's not true. without lawyers coming after you. And this guy's claiming he is Elvis. He wants people to know he's still alive and why he had to pull his disappearing act.
So, I think...
He was a very spiritual guy.
Yeah.
So if we're in end times and he wants to tell the truth before he dies or before things run amok, and he's got some inside information because he was a federal agent privy to a lot of stuff through Nixon and top level things, or he broke out of his mind control or whatever, I'd like to hear it, you know. Like I said, I'd like to see both kings come back.
Well, there's plenty more material as well on that with the McCartney thing as well, the whole king and prince thing. We're running out of time. I'm sorry?
Yeah. So you want to join us tomorrow or carry on with this tomorrow?
If I'm around and you know, it's quiet here, because 5 o'clock in the afternoon is a busy time. If it's quiet, I'll join you and we'll continue this conversation. I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, because you're more than welcome.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming.
Sorry about all the audio problems that you had.
Well, you know, I think it's always a good sign that when you start talking truth and you get hit, and you stop talking truth and you don't get hit, and you start talking truth, you know, it becomes a bit obvious. Anyway, so I've had two reboots tonight, and that seems to have done the job. So thank you very much, Rick and Annie.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
So, yeah, well...
So that's tomorrow. Tomorrow at noontime, East Coast, 11 Central, and 9 a.m. West Coast if you're on the Pacific side.
I'm crossing my fingers that you'll be here, JP. I'd love to have you.
Yeah, you're great.
Thank you
so
much.
We'll have Wingman will probably be joining us, so thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night, everybody.
All right. Love you all.
Good night.